Spirit, one God, amen. In today's gospel reading, the church chooses a passage from chapter 6 of the book of the Gospel of St. Matthew. And in the gospel reading, you find three characteristics or three elements of Christ's message today. The three are charity, or almsgiving, and prayer and fasting. And you'll notice some consistencies between charity and prayer, in that Christ, he outlines three things to be aware of: not to be seen, not to be heard, and not to be calculated. Not to be seen, not to be heard, and not to be calculated. He said, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. He says, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet, that you may have glory from men. And then he says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So again, not to be seen, not to be heard, not to be calculated. With fasting, when he speaks about fasting, two of them are missing. He speaks about not being seen by men when we're fasting. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, so that one may see one who is fasting. But fasting, of course, can be seen, can be heard, can be calculated. And although many times we may look to the way that the church has maybe arranged fasting to be overwhelming for the person, and there's no doubt that it can seem that way. But I think that the church, in its love for the people and for its care for our salvation, uses a prescribed fast in order to take away from the joy that can come from the fast, to take away more temptations that can come with the fasting. And this is why, when of course the church has a prescribed fast, what is done to encourage all of us to participate in the fast is done in secret with one's Father of Confession. But the reason why the church does it is because to protect us so that we can enjoy the fast. For example, among the community, we can speak about, are you fasting, or what are you fasting from, right? Maybe I'm giving up Coca-Cola this fast, or I'm giving up. We don't have that because the prescribed fast is a vegan diet. This prescribed fast prevents every one of us from being heard, from being tempted by others hearing and us hearing about how does that person fast or how does this person fast. It's a protection. Or to be calculated. Well, that's a very ambitious fast, the way that that person fasts. Or maybe my fast is not enough. The church prescribes a fast, a very specific fast, as a general way of saying there is nothing to be calculated. Generally, there's nothing to be calculated. It's calculated for you. But the way we participate in the fast is done in secret. The way we do it is in secret, yet the church provides us a protection so that we can enjoy the fast. Can there really be joy in fasting? It is hard to believe. Yet it is likely that all of us, we will find each other at a Korean barbecue joint today. And tomorrow Taco Bell's sales will rise. And where is the joy in that change? The joy comes in dedicating this time, especially Lent, with the Father. Not just us spending time with him, but him spending time with us. We, on a yearly basis, we spend months giving our attention to the needs of the family, school, and so forth. And then we try to take a couple weeks a year for vacation, a time to spend away from the hustle and bustle of our daily lives and to try and enjoy and relax with our families. Lent is a vacation. Lent is supposed to be seen as a vacation. Whenever we know that a vacation is coming up, we are in anticipation of it. And we are ready for it. It's not seen as a burden, right? A vacation, well, I mean, in some cases, maybe vacation planning could be seen as a burden, but maybe when you're actually there, the burden is not so much. But nonetheless, we seek to have this vacation from the world, this vacation from passions and our struggles. Not that we anticipate returning to them after vacation, but to have a strong power against them. Again, Lent is a vacation from earthly things. When I think about what we do when we prepare for vacation, I think about how sometimes I may have separation anxiety from the things that prevent me from going on vacation. And that also carries in my spiritual life as well. But we find the same trend or the same three characteristics that we find that Christ was speaking about, charity, fasting, and prayer. We see the same trend even when we are planning a vacation. If we're on our normal day where we love to watch a lot of TV, we're willing to skip out on the TV so that we can go swim in the ocean, for example. Or even charity, in a way that charity not necessarily meaning that I'm giving to someone, but that my care for the material things is no longer there, that I am willing to leave that aside in order to enjoy my vacation. For example, if I go on vacation, I may lose money in school because I'm pulling my kid out of school. I still have to pay the tuition or whatever the costs are, but it's worth it because I'm going to go on vacation. Or, of course, we, you know, leave the light on, the outdoor light on, so that people think that we're home when we're on vacation. So even if it costs us a little bit more in electricity, it's worth it for the safety of our home. Or whenever we go on vacation, we look at the things that are going to expire between now and the time that I come back from my vacation, and I'm willing to throw all that food out. All of that, in a sense, is charity in the sense that I have lost care for the value of these things, because what's more important is that I want to have some time focused on my vacation with my family. And the same thing even with prayer. Before going on vacation, we tend to cram everything in the last few days. Work, I might have sleepless nights before vacation so that I can make sure I get everything in. Or maybe I'm going to spend all this time to focus on packing. Or if I have homework, I'm going to cram everything and I'm going to try and finish everything in advance so that I don't have to worry about it. So we have all this busyness in order to prepare us for the lack of work, the lack of school, the lack of all of those worries. And so this is fasting, especially Lent. It is to skip the TV. It's to skip out on the new materials. It's to not be worried about the things that I have even now. It is to be given a designated period in which I am all the Father will get. I am all that the Father will get. Nothing else that usually belongs to me will be interfering between me and God. And so this vacation or the Lent is simply a special time for each and every one of us. It can be depriving when we let Lent go as just normal days. We will be deprived if we go through Lent without having participated in the Lenten fast. And the reason is because God himself is the closest to us. God is the closest to us, and he tells that in the gospel today. And just as our own families are the closest to us in proximity and in knowledge of who I am and in all of these things, yet they have the ability of feeling more abandoned than anyone else. Even though I can be next to them, they have the ability to feel more abandoned than by anyone else. And so God imagined that he is closer to us than even our own families, and so he himself can feel even abandoned by us. And so the reason that God wants us to pray and to fast and to practice almsgiving or this rejection of material things in secret is because God deals with us in secret. God participates in us in secret. And I just want to read, it's a long psalm, but I thought that I would just conclude simply by reading this psalm, because I feel that this psalm shows us or reveals to us the closeness of God, his desire for us being close to him, his desire for him to be close to us, and how we can look at what Lent should be for me, which is to desire and to take this vacation in order to spend more time with God. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light upon about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Again, he says, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Only God knows everything about me that even the closest human cannot know, because I was made in secret. As much as we all try to know each other, as much as we think we know the person sitting next to us, only God truly knows our inward parts, because he crafted them in secret. And so he's asking us to also visit him in secret. He's asking us to take this fast and to reject all of the wicked things, to spend time with Him who knows me, so that we may also know Him. To Him be the glory both now and ever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.